Hey Central Ohio, the nationwide Children's Marathon will be taking over the city on October 18th and 19th. COTA riders can expect significant reroutes throughout the city. Operators will be working tirelessly to assist COTA customers. That's October 18th and 19th for the nationwide Children's Marathon. Expect significant reroutes downtown. You can view real-time updates on the transit app or at COTA.com. That's COTA.com. Good luck to all the runners.
Big color, bigger savings. It's Sherwin-Williams' biggest super sale. Get 40% off paints and stains October 17th through the 27th with prices starting at $29.39. Whether you're refreshing your interior or exterior, we've got the colors to bring your vision to life. And with delivery, getting everything to your door is easier than ever. Shop online to have it delivered or visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details. Delivery available on qualifying orders.
Welcome to Bollywood is for Lovers, part of the Alberta Podcast Network, powered by ATB. I'm Erin Fraser.
And I'm Matt Bose. In this episode, we're discussing Suraj Bharatiya's landmark 1994 classic, Hum Aapke Hain Khoon, starring Salman Khan as lovable goofball Prem, Madhuri Dixit as the object of his affection, and Rito as Tuffy, the dog who saves the day.
Before we begin, we would like to respectfully acknowledge that we record this podcast on Treaty 6 territory, traditional lands of First Nations and Métis people.
Matt.
Yes?
We are late.
Late for what?
We're late putting up this episode. And this is why we don't put out episodes weekly, because we just don't have the time and energy to keep it up.
We're sexy, exciting people with fun jobs and all kinds of cool stuff happening all the time.
Yeah, this week my day job was really zapping all of my energy. I had a big project that I've been working on for months that kind of finally came to fruition this week. And so I just did not have time to to record.
The authors at my work expected me to pay them money.
Oh,
so
okay.
That's something I was working on this week.
So this was supposed to be our Valentine's Day episode, and unfortunately we're recording it the day after Valentine's Day.
It'll still be good for next year's Valentine's
Day. Yeah, exactly. But
This is like an investment in future Valentine's Days forever.
Okay. But it is kind of a happy coincidence, or we can maybe turn this into an opportunity, as it is the Lunar New Year. It's Chinese New Year, and it is the year of the dog this year.
Hmm.
And boy, does this movie feature a great dog. You know, a belated happy Valentine's Day to all of our listeners out there, and a happy Chinese New Year.
Mm-hmm.
I think Tuffy might be one of my favorite movie dogs.
You know, he's got some tough competition, though.
He does. I love Marvin and Patterson.
Marvin is a great villain in that film.
Mm-hmm.
Daisy.
Yes, the puppy in John Wick. She's great.
Yeah.
Tragic.
Not a lot of screen time, but, yeah. You know, her presence is felt across the New York underworld.
Mm-hmm. There's the dog in Dil Dadakne Do that narrates the film.
Yeah. Amir Khan plays the dog voice.
And I imagine that dog owes something to Tuffy. You know, Tuffy really paved the way.
I mean, I wish we could have heard what Tuffy was up to, what he was thinking about over the course of this film.
I agree. I would like to know what Tuffy was thinking throughout this film. Who would you have voicing Tuffy?
In 1994? Well, yeah. Amitabh Bachchan, obviously.
Obviously.
Yeah. He probably needs the money.
Amitabh Bachchan as the voice of Tuffy.
Yeah, he probably needs the money after his failed political career.
Mm.
And, yeah, he just has a great voice.
I would go with Rishi Kapoor.
Yeah.
I think Rishi Kapoor would do a good Tuffy.
Yeah.
A good inner monologue on Tuffy.
Yeah. I'd watch either of those films. I'm surprised there hasn't been, like, a remake of this movie that's all from Tuffy's point of view.
Well, there has been talk of a remake. Mm. I don't know if they will take your suggestion of making it all from Tuffy's point of view. But I think that would be a good Rosencrantz and Guilderston are dead type spin on Hack.
Yeah.
H-A-H-K.
Yeah, you could just call it Tuffy the Dog is Alive.
Yeah. This And this is one of these episodes and one of these films that really intimidates me on this podcast.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, as we've mentioned many times before, we are new to Bollywood. We didn't grow up with it. And this is a classic. This film changed Hindi cinema. This is like Mother India, which we still haven't done an episode on, like Sholay, which we have, and like Mughal-e Azam.
Which we also have. And which we also have.
Yeah, and DDLJ. So there's kind of before Haq.
Yeah.
And after. And so, you know, it can be intimidating because these films are so ingrained into both kind of the history of Bollywood, but also Indian culture. I think in a way that we can appreciate, but can't always relate to.
Yeah, I was trying to think of a movie that had such an impact on, like, the Western idea of getting married.
Mm.
And the only one I could think of is Muriel's Wedding.
Sure.
Favorite of Aaron Fraser's.
I love Muriel's Wedding.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a great movie, but it's Australian.
Yeah.
For one, and kind of dark.
Yeah.
Maybe Four Weddings and a Funeral, or Father of the Bride.
Or Mamma Mia.
I love ABBA, but I don't like Mamma Mia.
Yeah. I mean, that, you know, Hindi cinema has a rich tapestry of movies about people getting married,
mm-hmm.
whereas the Hollywood film industry, I don't think it does anymore. Father of the Bride was a big one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's a BuzzFeed article that is that purports to be a true and accurate retelling of this film, and I think it starts with a... Believe it or not, there's a plot in this wedding video.
Well, that's the thing, though, because Hollywood films, usually when someone gets married, it's either a prelude to, like, what happens in the movie, or it's presumably what happens to the heterosexual couple mm-hmm. at the end of the film. So one of the film professors at our university would say that, you know, for good or for ill, in Hollywood cinema, the pairing of the heterosexual mating couple was the end goal of a lot of the film. And mm-hmm. usually when someone gets married, that's the thing that happens at the end of the movie, and you're just led to believe that the wedding goes okay. Mm-hmm. Whereas Hindi films often go through the entire rigmarole of getting married.
And this is the film that really set that tone.
Mm-hmm.
That, you know, kind of before... And this movie came out, Hindi cinema, kind of in the 70s and 80s, had gotten really violent. There were a lot of kind of these curry westerns, right, that we see with Sholay.
Yeah.
So, you know, things had gotten a bit more vulgar, and it was more about
The angry young man,
exactly. Yeah. And this film brought a lot of people back to the cinema because it is a celebration of traditional Indian values and Indian culture.
It's a nice story.
And it's appropriate for the whole family. So a lot of people, women and children who'd kind of been, you know, weren't being served at the theater were brought back with this film. This movie and DDLJ, which came out the following year, led to a 40% increase in attendance at the Indian box office.
That's astounding. Although I will say, in my experience, Indian audiences are not worried about bringing kids to whatever Indian movie they're watching. Yeah. There were kids at Angamali Diaries. There were kids at Padmavat. Some very violent content in some films. And maybe that's just a Canadian thing. I don't know.
This film also showcases an ideal family. So
it's an ideal family where the parents are dead.
Yeah.
Where Prem's, you know, his parents are dead. He lives with his uncle.
Mm-hmm.
So that's interesting.
But there's no conflict. There's no backstabbing aunties.
There's that one kind of bitchy lady.
Yeah, but she's pretty mild.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, it is, you know, everyone coming together for the common good of the family and sacrificing their own happiness for the family.
Except for Tuffy. Tuffy generally kept his shit on lock.
Yeah.
Although, there is no conflict,
mm-hmm.
which can be somewhat tedious to watch. But it is a pretty enjoyable watch.
Yeah.
Like,
Goes down easy.
I think the music is really good in it.
There's 14 songs.
There's quite a bit of it, so that's useful. Yeah, it just kind of takes you behind the scenes of this big enterprise.
Mm-hmm. It's an adaptation of a 1982 Bhojpuri film, Nadia K. Parr. I get the sense that it's kind of a loose adaptation. It became the highest grossing Bollywood film of all time at the time of its release. And adjusted for inflation, it's made about $98 million.
That's in U.S. dollars.
Yeah.
That's astounding.
Yeah. It forever changed Hindi cinema, as we've been talking about. This film, Karan Johar cites as the movie that changed his life. And that has kind of set him down the path of the kind of stories that he likes to tell.
And that's interesting, because he's in DDLJ, too.
Yeah.
So, I mean, he was in one of the biggest films of all time and was influenced by the other one. You can see in a lot of his work that this sort of family story is, what mm-hmm. he's after. Although his are a lot more dramatic.
But I think you can see a direct line from this to Kabhi Khushi Kabhi Gham.
Yeah.
Yeah. That makes sure. perfect sense to me. As we were mentioning, the film is about the importance of family.
And a dog.
Sacrifice and love. And it provides a bridge between tradition and modernity.
Mm-hmm.
And so it kind of straddles these ideas of, traditional Indian values, but with the younger generation that we see in this film with Salman Khan and Madhuri Dixit as Prem and Nisha, who fall in love and, kind of are a bit more modern.
They talk English a lot.
And, she's wearing those roller skates and, mm-hmm. He's always busy at work.
She's eating ice cream all the time her wall yeah. posters.
But that doesn't get in the way of them being Indian mm-hmm. and being a part of those traditional values. And so it shows how you can have both, how you can be both things at once and that mm-hmm. they don't need to be at odds with one another.
Mm-hmm.
It has 14 songs.
Wasn't the stage adaptation called 14 Songs, Two Weddings, and a Funeral?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, which is a good title. 11 of these songs were sung by the legendary Lata Mangeshkar. These songs have become ingrained in Indian culture. They are frequently played at wedding celebrations in India. And a lot of the games from this film are replicated now at Indian weddings, especially the one of stealing the groom's shoes.
Yeah, that's the one I want to pull off this weekend while we're at a wedding.
Yeah, our friends are actually getting married this weekend, so this is a good time for us to be watching this movie.
We're going
to
say right now, if Tori Dance is listening, keep an eye on your shoes. Let's see if this actually works.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see if he's listening to podcasts 2 days before he gets married, because if he isn't, he's going to be in for a surprise.
Yeah. The film initially had a limited release. There were only 26 prints struck. And theaters who wanted to show the film were forced to upgrade their facilities in order to do so. So this is kind of a bit like Avatar.
Sound and video, most like.
Mm-hmm.
Unless this was shot in, Tuffy Vision.
The initial preview screenings and initial reviews predicted that the film was going to be a huge flop because there was no plot.
Mm-hmm.
And as we mentioned, it went on to become one of the highest grossing movies of all time.
Mm-hmm.
It was the first Bollywood film to cross 100 crore domestically.
Mm-hmm.
It's not the first film to reach 100 crore. I believe that distinction goes to Disco Dancer, which did crazy business in the Soviet Union.
Yeah, Mithun is really popular in all those mm-hmm. former states, right?
Mm-hmm. And it did about double that worldwide. And played for 100 weeks in Mumbai and won 5 Filmfare Awards, including Best Film, Best Director, and Best Actress for Madhuri Dixit. It also picked up the National Film Award for Best Popular Film Providing Wholesome Entertainment.
You know what? It is a popular film providing wholesome entertainment. That award is extremely well named.
Yeah. Why don't you give us a rundown of the plot?
Oh boy. Okay. So the movie, as noted before, directed by Suraj Bharjatia. And it stars Salman Khan as Prem, Madhuri Dixit as Nisha, Monish Bal as Rajesh, Renuka Shahane as Pooja, Anupam Kher and Reema Lagu as Nisha and Pooja's parents, Alok Nath as Kailash Prem and Rajesh's uncle. Sahila Shada as Rita, a.k.a. Bum Chums, and Redo as Tuppy the Dog. So the movie starts with Prem and his buddy Rita, who lives at his house, and I was never entirely sure who she was or why she was there. She's not exactly a servant, but she kind of seems like on that level.
No, she's...
she's someone's niece, right?
Yeah, she is the daughter of Prem's uncle's friends. And yeah. they... I don't know if they live at their house. They're just always there. The like, the family just, like, comes together for these celebrations, and they're just all around. Yeah. Except for Nisha and Pooja's parents, who, like, go off for a while and then come back.
Yeah. And, like, she's Prem's buddy. She's got a thing for him, but he's blithely unaware, because he's more interested in playing cricket and writing weird stuff on his car.
Yeah.
So, yeah, they play some cricket. Rita has a shirt that says Bum Chums on it, which... completely fucking mystifies
me. Well, everyone is wearing labels, so...
yeah, they say boy or girl on them. There's a bunch of kids there for some reason, too.
Tuffy is the umpire.
Is there a school nearby that uses their cricket pitch?
I don't know.
Tuffy is the umpire, and he seems tough but fair.
Yeah.
So they find Prem's older brother, Rajesh. They're orphans, by the way. They're living with their uncle, who is a rich industrialist. The kind of industrialist who just sits at his house all day long... plays games, reads books. Honestly, the ideal career path for me. Because, yeah, being a rich industrialist that never does any work looks amazing.
Do you want to have to raise your two nephews?
Yeah, I would do it.
Okay.
That's easy. If I was rich, if I was stinking rich, I could do it.
Okay.
But anyway, they found a girl to marry Rajesh off to. Her name's Pooja. And her parents live about 4 hours away. They're at a kind of... it's not an ashram, but there's like a religious sort of site at the place that they live.
Mm.
And Anupam Kher is like a professor who's studying stuff and cooking a lot. And yeah, they go down to meet Pooja. Pooja and Rajesh hit it off pretty well.
At first they have to lie to Rajesh. They're like, oh, we're going on vacation. Oh, here's this girl. Look, you're engaged and now we're planning a wedding.
Yeah.
Like, I don't understand why Rajesh was reluctant to get married, because as soon as he meets Pooja, he's just like, oh, yeah, let's do this.
Yeah, there's no real reason for the subterfuge.
Yeah.
But really, this is just to get Prem and Nisha in the same room. So Nisha is kind of messing around with the manager of this place and... mimicking his cough thing that he does. And this kind of becomes like a phrase that the two of them use so that they know who's talking. But they have a meet cute, and it doesn't hit it off exactly well. Prem is super into Nisha from Jump Street. But Nisha's like, I don't know about this guy.
Wouldn't you be super into Madhuri Dixit?
Yes.
Yeah.
I still am.
Yeah.
Every time I see her in a movie. But the most important person in the film is Tuffy, the dog, who he doesn't bite. He only loves.
Mm-hmm. he also doesn't bark.
No, he's a very quiet dog. Although, due to the sound system used in Indian films, he might have been barking all the time.
Yeah, we don't know.
There's a scene later on where, long story short, Rajesh and Pooja have a kid. They get married. Everything goes great. The kid is obviously like screaming his head off in some scene, and his grandma's holding him. But, you know, since it's not being recorded, it's fine.
Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, Rajesh and Pooja get married. So about an hour and a half of the film concerns their wedding planning and ceremony.
Yeah.
I would say.
Yeah. It's about that.
So lots of stuff goes down. There's some pranks between the different families. Lots of different dance scenes.
Lots of singing and dancing.
Lots of kind of hangouts where they play games like sort of a duck, duck, goose type game where you throw a pillow around and whoever has the pillow when the music stops. It's duck, duck, goose meets...
That's after Pooja has the baby. That's later on.
Yes, but it's a sort of duck, duck, goose slash musical chairs type thing. Where if you get caught holding the bag when the song's done, you actually just have to like perform a scene or recite a poem. I thought that might have been my most favorite part of the movie, even though it's also quite long.
There is a part at the wedding, though, where Anupam Kher To Prem's uncle, who's like, "You used to love my wife in university. Sing a song for her." And
sing
it's
a song
super
about
awkward.
Sing a song about how hot my wife is, please.
It is super awkward.
It is awkward.
Okay, so then after the wedding,
yeah, they have a kid.
They go back to Prem and Rajesh go back to their place with Pooja, and she becomes pregnant.
Rajesh and runs some stuff for the family. Prem is being groomed to have a factory or a car dealership. It's called Prem Motors PLTD.
Yeah,
which could either be a car manufacturer that makes Prem cars, or it could just be a Prem car selling location.
Yeah. And because Pooja is pregnant, Nisha comes to their home.
Yeah,
because
Rajesh is off on business.
Yeah. So then she's living with them, and then Prem and Nisha's romance continues to develop.
And it's nice.
Yeah.
It's nice.
It's nice.
Yeah.
But then something finally happens in the last half an hour of this film.
Tragedy strikes. I mean, everyone has seen this movie.
Yeah.
You could say. Pooja falls down the stairs and kills herself.
Kills herself. Accidentally
dies.
Yes,
she dies. She dies by accidentally falling down the stairs. Stairs, which I'll add, are in all the wedding scenes and stuff, are just like heavily trafficked. There's always people on these stairs that I didn't realize that they were setting up the stairs so much because there's a lot of business that happens on these stairs.
Mm-hmm.
And then they didn't even put a baby gate or anything. After a family member died, I maybe get a spiral staircase or something. Something that's harder to fall down.
Mm-hmm.
But Pooja dies. Nisha, they have a kind of plan to figure out who's going to take care of the kid, because no one could take care of a kid if they're not married to them, and bringing a new wife into the family, that's impossible.
Well, yeah, because it's all who will want to marry Rajesh with the expectation that they are going to have to take care of his son,
which is hypocritical. It's very hypocritical because his uncle took care of them.
Yeah.
You know, I guess he was married already, or maybe he got married afterwards, but it doesn't seem to...
He doesn't have a wife, though. The uncle doesn't have a wife.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
But it doesn't seem to be like a... It doesn't seem to put him out... I guess he's filthy rich, but, like, it doesn't seem to be too bad for him to take care of kids.
Yeah, and it's just this thing about how, like, this child is so important, and, you know, it must have the love of a mother. And while I think that that's a nice sentiment, I also think, like, look at how warm and happy this family is. Like,
you know, it's a problem, though, and I can understand. Like, I've seen plenty of films where, you know, you have a wicked stepmother.
Mm-hmm.
Lots of movies, like, it's unfortunately a stereotype, but there's lots of movies about women who just don't care about kids that weren't theirs.
Yeah.
Happens all the time in movies.
I'm just saying that...
I mean, I don't agree I think it would have been fine.
Yeah.
But,
the image of the family that we see here is so warm and caring that I just don't understand why it is so imperative that Rajesh have a wife to take care of this son when clearly everyone wants to chip in and help all the time with everything.
Yeah. But they eventually get the idea that Nisha should marry Rajesh.
Because she would love the son like it was her own.
Yeah. And also she's there already. Nisha, by the way, at this time has, you know, been waiting for Prem to pop the question.
Yeah.
And when she's approached by her family, like, "Oh, we found you a husband."
They say, "Would you like to be their daughter-in-law?" Not, "Would you like to marry Prem?" Or, "Would you like to marry Rajesh?"
Yeah, that's an important distinction, ladies. If someone comes to you and says, "We have found you a husband, and you have one in mind," you should ask to see if it's the one you want. You'll save yourself a lot of trouble.
And by the time she realizes the mistake that she's made...
It is literally her wedding day.
Yeah, she already has her henna painted, and she looks at the wedding invitation that has, like, already been printed and sent out to people.
Nisha's not a details person, I'm guessing, because she didn't, like, vet the wedding invitation.
Yeah. I mean, it's a couple days before the wedding.
But still,
it's, like, a couple days before the wedding.
I mean, it's 94, so they didn't work on their wedding website, and presumably, I mean, there isn't really much in the way of social media, so
They don't have a hashtag?
They don't have a hashtag for the wedding. Basically, Lalu, the lovable caretaker type guy who lives with them, figures, oh man, there's no way out of this one. We got to ask Krishna for help. And Krishna does help in the form of Tuffy the dog.
Yes. So Nisha and Prem mutually make the decision that they will sacrifice their own happiness and their own love for the sake of the family.
But
then she writes a letter.
But before that, the reason why Pooja died is that she had come over with Prem to talk to Nisha about them getting married. And she brought some of her mother's jewelry to kind of symbolize, you know, this isn't quite signed on the dotted line yet, but we want you two to get together. Then she falls down the stairs and can't tell anybody, even though she tries to do a deathbed thing of like, I was there to get those two married. And Rajesh is like, you really love Prem, huh? Like, no, I want them to get married. Like, that Prem is a great guy. You're right. Anyway, bye.
So, yeah. So she takes the necklace. Yeah, that Nisha got from Prem, from Pooja.
Yeah.
And then she writes a letter to Prem, and she gives it to Tuffy to deliver to Prem. And
Tuffy, who we've seen earlier, can be, like, tricked into, like, giving up items. Yeah. Like, for a while there, he's got to watch the shoes where they steal them. Another kind of delightful part of the movie where Nisha's side of the family steals the shoes from Rajesh. And he's like, oh, no, my shoes. And then they try to extort him for about 1,000 rupees to get the shoes back. And for a while there, Tuffy's put in charge of watching the shoes. And, you know, he does okay, but he is a dog.
He's a very sweet dog.
There's only so much a dog could do. But with Krishna on their side, Tuffy makes the correct decision to give the things to Rajesh, so Rajesh knows the terrible tragedy that unfolded. And then Rajesh is like...
And then Tuffy saves the day!
Tuffy saves the day, and Rajesh is like, yeah, I could probably marry someone else, considering my brother is in love with this woman, and, you know, maybe they'll babysit my kid, who knows?
And everything ends happily.
Yeah.
14 songs, 2 weddings, and a funeral.
Yeah.
It's a long movie.
Yeah.
And not much happens.
Not much happens, but also a ton happens.
Yeah.
No. It's one of those.
All right. We're going to go ahead to interval, and when we return, discuss kind of, you know, what we thought about the film. What are we listening to, Matt?
We are listening to the song Didi Tara Tevar Divana, which features Rita dressed up as Salman Khan.
Yes, this is the song that plays at Pooja's baby shower, and it famously features Madhuri Dixit in a purple sari, kind of turning around.
If you're interested in sending money to friends and family in another country, why not check out ATB Global Transfers online? Most global transfers only cost $5, and if you're sending between $1 and $5,000, there's no fee at all. You can send a global transfer at any time from anywhere using your computer, tablet, or mobile phone, and the service keeps up to date with real-time exchange rates. For more information on ATB Global Transfers, check out ATB.com.
Hum Apke Hain Koon ushered in the big fat Indian wedding trend. In one fell swoop, it established a recognizable brand in Hindi cinema. These days, everyone tries to ascertain their brand and engage their audience. Even weddings use hashtags. In a branded world, Luisa Campos offers step-by-step guides and easy-to-implement advice on how to build meaningful brands that captivate audiences. You can find A Branded World at markastrategy.com/abrandedworldpodcast. To find out more about the Alberta Podcast Network, powered by ATB, and the member podcasts, go to albertapodcastnetwork.com.
And we're back. So, that song was called Didi Tara Devar Divana. And for some reason, and I don't know, I mean, I've been to one baby shower, right?
Right. It wasn't, I planned.
You planned it. Not for our baby. We don't have a baby. This was for a friend's baby. But, like, it was not such an amazing affair. No offense. It was the best baby shower I've been to. But I wouldn't, like...
You won at Baby Jeopardy.
I dominated Baby Jeopardy. But I wouldn't, like, cross-dress to try and sneak into the baby shower because I thought it was so exciting.
Uh-huh.
But in this movie, the song you just heard, a snippet from, the baby shower is amazingly exciting, and Prem and his buddies try and sneak in.
Yeah.
And, yeah, I do like that he eventually, after getting kicked out a couple times, just finds a window and watches out of that with some snacks.
Prem is a little too into his family.
Prem loves his family. In fact, he wrote it on his car. He said, yeah. I love my family, dash Prem. So you know who wrote I love my family on his car.
It's weird. He also wrote Cool Rider on his car, which I assume is a reference to
Tuffy.
Everyone's...
No, it's Tuffy.
No, it's a reference to everyone's favorite musical, Grease 2.
Ugh, no. No, it's a reference to Tuffy, who has kind of like a dog seat in the back of the car. He's not belted in, though. Like, I was very worried for Tuffy, but he was a brave dog.
Yeah, like, there's something about Prem where he feels a little infantile.
Yes. He loves his family a lot.
And, I mean, I love my family.
Not that much.
But it's a little... Yeah.
You're the only person I know with a big enough family unit to even have these sort of hijinks happen.
Mm-hmm.
Because my family's quite small.
Yeah, my family's giant.
Yeah. And, like, yeah, a wedding for your family is a gigantic affair.
This film was a little difficult for us, as we were talking about at the top of the show, because so much of it is ingrained in Indian culture, and that's, you know, really what it's about. It's about... the importance of the Indian family.
It's all about community. Loving your family, yeah. As a later film would say.
And tradition. And so, you know, kind of being removed from that culture, it can be hard for us to relate to. But that aspect of the big, crazy, loving family, that I could really relate to. Because I am from a very large family, and Matt can attest to this. Sometimes when we get together... we will, like, sing songs that we grew up listening to.
It's so weird. I'm like the Shah Rukh infiltrating the wedding in DDLJ, but every time I go to your parents' house.
Yeah, like, so we can be a bit like this, hey? And, yeah. Like, playing games with each other and...
fucking weird made-up words that you guys have that no one has ever heard of before.
Yeah.
Say a couple of them right now.
Like Hermfinglers?
Hermfinglers. Do you know what this is, listeners? I don't.
It's like, okay, you know when you go camping?
Yes.
And
camping, a activity which Aaron Fraser historically despises.
I do. Okay. And you put like those...
It's a camp cooker. It's you make a little sandwich on the fire.
Yeah.
It's a camp cooker.
No, it's a Hermfingler.
Anyway, this is the sort of weird stuff that they come up with in Aaron's family.
So
I kind of get it.
Yeah, so I could really relate to...
There isn't an outsider character in this, apart from maybe Rita, who fascinates me. I don't know what she's doing there half the time.
So are you the Rita in my family?
I think so, although...
Do you identify with Rita?
I identify with
her. Are you
a
bum chum?
I don't think I'm a bum chum, but she was definitely the one I was most attracted to. I liked Rita.
What? More than Madhuri Dixit?
Yeah. Madhuri Dixit is great, but Rita has a sort of je ne sais quoi about her. She will wear anything on a shirt, which is kind of adorable. I'm going to have to take a laugh break here.
Okay. All right. I mean, she's good.
Yeah.
She's good. I like her. But...
I was into what Rita was putting down.
Okay. So you're like that doctor character.
Yeah, I guess so. There's a guy who's one of Prem's buddies, I guess, who kind of fantasizes about Rita, and she's like some sort of mythological being for him. What sucks in this scenario is that for the entirety of the film, she's like, no, go away, nerd. And at the end, she's like, yeah, I liked you anyway. Like, what? No character development whatsoever, but whatever. It's fine.
One of the other things that, you know, that I really... related to in this film was Tuffy.
Yeah.
Because I grew up with a dog. I love dogs. I really, really wish you and I had a dog. We don't. One day we will, hopefully. One of my coworkers brought their dog to work today, and I made it hang out with me for quite a bit of the day. It's a miniature schnauzer named Wyatt.
Adorable.
He is so adorable. And I think Tuffy, you know, it really provides some warmth to this film.
He's a means for divine intervention, for one.
Yeah.
And also...
He's also comedic relief.
They trained a dog to be a cricket coach. That's amazing.
Either
he's like the smartest dog who ever lived, or they just don't know how to play cricket, and they just do whatever the dog says.
He also listens to a Walkman in one song and has
and
little,
he's cool,
like,
cool shades on. And
yeah, he's got shades.
He can walk on his back legs, too. I mean, he's a really amazing dog.
He's an Indian Spitz.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess in real life, he was adopted by Madhuri Dixit after the shoot.
That is wonderful.
That being said, there is a fantastic video on YouTube. Aditi Mittal, who is an Indian comedian, you can see her special on Netflix. It's hilarious. She produced a true Bollywood stories about what happened to Tuffy.
Fame went to his head.
Yeah. 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 He's, I mean, like, a dog goes a long way for me in a movie. And Tuffy just, like, gives every scene that he is in this injection of happiness and
he
joy.
He doesn't fight.
Like,
he loves.
You can't look at this dog and not be happy. And there are some scenes when, like, stuff is going on with the family and Tuffy's just, like, looking straight at the camera.
Yeah, I will say, Tuffy, you gotta, buddy, don't look at the camera.
He's just looking straight at the camera.
You're breaking the illusion, Tuffy. If you look at the camera, I'm pretty sure I know it's a movie. Now,
the last kind of what was up with that observation that I need to make are these pictures of Madhuri Dixit eating ice cream.
Yes, this is completely indefensible because what person?
They're super cute,
I guess. But what person has kind of a triptych of like the various phases of eating ice cream on her walls?
And these are not like portrait size.
No,
like,
they're huge. And above her bed, there's a painting that has to be 15 feet long of just various other food items. And when you see later on in the movie, like, she's really sad. She doesn't want to marry Rajesh, but is duty-bound to do so. She's still sitting in her room with the ice cream pictures on the walls and the very big food painting on. Like, it's tough to get a bead on her because she doesn't seem obsessed with food, right?
No.
You'd think she would be. And we've certainly seen other movies where characters are obsessed with food.
Mm-hmm.
And this person with multiple food pictures on her walls, you know, I don't get it, but... Whatever.
It's charming, though. I think overall, I find this movie really, really charming.
Yeah, I don't get the food imagery, but I did find it charming. For a movie that is almost 3 hours long.
Yeah.
It's a long slog. It goes down pretty easy.
Yeah, like I said, there's 14 songs. This is probably the first Bollywood film I have seen that I actually would cut out some songs. That's a little blasphemous for me to say. And when they initially released it, they did only have 12 songs because they thought there were too many songs. And then people loved it, so they put 2 songs back in.
Wait, so it came out in theaters and people thought, man, this movie's pretty good. But if it was 20 minutes longer and had 2 more songs, I would totally be on. One scene that I really liked is that one I was talking about earlier, the Duck Duck Goose.
Yeah, that was fun.
Musical chairs thing. Because... I like when movies allude to other movies, and Hindi films are especially good at this because this one brings in Mughaliasm, brings in Sholay, and it kind of posits itself amongst these bigger, well, at that time, bigger film milestones.
Mm-hmm.
And this would go on to become a huge success as well. But it's fun to see it kind of pointing itself like, you know, here's the great adventure story, here's the great historical romance. We're the great, 90s wedding movie.
Yeah, I really like that scene, too. And, you know, it's a lot of fun. But also, all the actors, like every member of this big ensemble, really gets a moment to shine and really gets something to do.
Yeah, because you could tell that their uncle, Prem and Rajesh's uncle, he's kind of shy. Like, he's a nice guy. He's he likes to sing. And he has a very, like... cherubic, nice face. And he's not the sort of guy who's going to jump up on a chair and do a scene from Cholet. I don't care. He's much more of an outgoing person. This guy just recites a nice poem.
Yeah.
So it does really help in characterizing them.
And that appreciation of Indian art and Indian pop culture is one of the things that we really, really love about Bollywood. Like, you know, there's...
Outside of Quentin Tarantino, who in Hollywood really references other movies that often?
Well, I mean, there's a Modern Times reference in Paddington 2.
I still haven't seen that yet, but I fully intend on doing
so. De Palma does that a lot, too.
Yeah, but he's got nothing going these days.
Yeah, that's fair.
Like, this is, like, just a perfect popcorn comedy, and they're still bringing all these references in, even though they don't need to. It's just because they wanted to.
That aspect of how deeply ingrained and vibrant these people's cultural identities are and their tradition, I find really appealing.
It's nice.
It is nice, and it's really welcoming, and it's really engaging. And so, you know, despite kind of having difficulties with this film, being unsure of how I could relate to it, it has drawn me in. You know, I am convinced of the magic of Hum Apke Hain Kun.
I'm not going to watch it anytime soon, but it does seem like the sort of thing. Yeah, not going to rewatch it anytime soon.
I mean, I have found so many gifts of Tuffy that I'm going to watch over and over again.
But it does seem like the sort of thing that this probably played on TV forever, right? Mm-hmm. Like, this would just be on Sunday mornings, and it could be just kind of a ritual.
Yeah.
It's
kind of like Wizard of Oz or Mary Poppins here.
Yeah, just an enjoyable thing that could just be part of the background of your life rather than an event. Yeah. It has that nature of being suited to dip in and dip out of. You could be like, oh, yeah, I like this song a lot. And then since you know the rest of the movie and there's not a huge amount of plot twists or anything you need to remember, that it could just be like, oh, yeah, that's great. Used to watch that with my parents. I bet, yeah, it probably just is a family tradition all the time.
So I think overall this film has grown on us.
Yeah, it did take a while to get there, and there is some weirdness. Can we talk about Saman some more?
Sure.
Okay, so between this one and then Hum Dil to Chukisanam, and then what he became now, it's such a drastic shift. Because he is really like a childlike love machine, basically. Love boy. Like, maybe not a love machine, but he's kind of, you know, sexy. I wish he'd get a belt that fits his pants, but whatever. And, like, he goes from being this romantic archetype, because he really is Prem. He's really this kind of lovey-dovey, love my family, but love Madhuri Dixit maybe a bit more type guy, but he'll also sacrifice anything for them.
It's a really chaste love, though.
Yeah, yeah. He's really got an archetype, and then he transforms his whole life and his whole body, really. Do you think maybe he was just trying to get away from this? Even in Judwa, like, he's kind of more of a hustler guy.
I mean, I don't know, because in Prem Ratan Tan Payo, he's playing a character named Prem again, and it's directed by Suraj Barjatia. So he returns to this, although
that might have just been for commercial purposes. Yeah, like that might just be a crass commercial thing, because he also did Tigers Into High, which is about as far away from this as you can be. I think maybe he returned to that well just to make some money. But also in that movie, he does play a dual role of one guy being like the nice Prem type guy, and the other one being sort of a calculating king. Like, maybe he just got tired of being what is a fairly one-dimensional character?
I think you need to talk to Asim Burney.
Yeah, he would know.
He would have a much better understanding of how Salman Khan has gone from this.
This would be Salman Mark One.
Yeah, from this to what we see in Tigers and a Hate. I would talk to him about it, to be perfectly honest.
Yeah. Yeah, I just thought it was really interesting that I can't think of a lot of actors who have so drastically changed their star persona. It's like if Paul Dano bulked up and became Sylvester Stallone.
Paul Dano?
Well, I'm trying to think of a guy who, you know,
I don't know. Ryan Gosling has kind of done this. I mean, he started out doing, like,
teen
the
stuff,
Notebook.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, he started on a breaker high.
In Young Hercules.
Yeah. You know, and now he is kind of that, like, brooding anti-hero that you see in
But then he also does La La Land. Like, he will also go back to the romantic well.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. I think he just has range. Like, Salman, he's not going back to this well unless he has some other angle he can do on it, like Prem Rata and Dampaya.
Honestly, I mean, I think Salman Khan is going to do whatever Salman Khan wants to do.
Yeah,
he's a force of nature. Yeah.
Yeah. I just wonder if maybe he was a little worried about getting typecast, so he just tried to swing completely the opposite direction.
Well, I mean, I think you're just kind of...
We got the benefit of hindsight here, yeah.
Yeah, and also making the argument that we need to look closer at Salman Khan's filmography, kind of, and look at kind of, you know, this stuff kind of in the late 90s and early 2000s.
Yeah, we're getting there.
Yeah, we'll get there. Yeah. If anyone has any recommendations for films that articulate this transition, his middle period, send them our way.
Or we could watch Jude Law again.
We could.
Yeah, the reflex action.
That is always an option.
Yeah.
But so, yeah. Do you recommend this movie, Matt? It's kind of a must-see if you're interested in Bollywood.
Yeah, I'm glad it wasn't one of the first ones we watched.
Yeah.
Because it might have been a lot harder to deal with.
Yeah, and I do really appreciate this film because I can see what came out of it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I can see the influence that this film has had on Hindi cinema. And so much of its impact is stuff that I adore.
Yeah.
You know, like, I a film like Dil Dhadakne Do is indebted to this film.
I think it's astounding that in between Perinda in, what, 89? And then this movie in 94.
See? Perinda, dark.
Perinda, very dark.
Violent.
Violent.
And great movie.
And if whom care, skinny, young, hits 1994, does not age ever again.
No.
He looks like this in every single movie I've seen post this. He's always this this dad.
Yeah.
Like, that guy nailed it on dad.
I love him. Yeah. I love him so much. Do you think he's going to be at the Oscars?
Maybe.
The Big Sick only got the one nomination.
But, like, he is, like, transcontinental dad. He could be a dad in any continent.
I love him.
And he nailed it in this one.
Yeah, he's so good.
I mean, you want to talk about someone maybe resting on their laurels. He got the dad archetype so good in this movie that he's able to just kind of call it up every now and then.
Yeah.
And you don't see him doing a lot of, you know, I'm a cop who wants to hang out with my buddy, Anil Kapoor. That doesn't happen that often. But I'm a dad who's kind of wacky. Anupam Kher is Indian Stanley Tucci.
Mm, yeah, maybe.
Oh, man.
And I think because... because the importance of family and these celebrations like weddings are so integral to kind of contemporary Bollywood, and we see these stories so often, Anupam Kher can have an entire career of just playing the patriarch.
Yeah.
And that's great.
Yeah, he could be a, you know, sinister one, or he could be the nicest one in the world. He's just he has owned that archetype, and he didn't try and run away from it.
We enjoyed this movie.
Yeah. I could see why it's very popular.
I think that about does it, Matt.
Mm-hmm.
We will be back in a couple weeks. We have a guest joining us. We haven't had a guest yet this year.
Yeah. So his name is Suchin Mehrotra, and we will be talking about... We're going to crack another one that's been tough for us.
Yeah.
So we're going back to look at some Indian comedies, some Hindi comedies, or maybe not Hindi comedies.
Yeah, we're going to be looking at two kind of black comedies. One is in Hindi and one is actually in English. And this is going to be a bit of an experiment to see if stuff is getting lost in translation for us.
Because that's one thing we've wondered about. Like, is it the wordplay and the puns?
Yeah.
Is that the key that we're missing to a lot of Hindi comedy?
Mm-hmm. It is still a Bollywood film, though. So we're going to be talking about Delhi Belly, which is in Hindi, and Being Cyrus, which stars Saif Ali Khan, but is in English. In the meantime, Matt, how can people keep up with the show?
Well, you can look us up on Twitter, @BollywoodPod. I'm there too, at @Matt_BOWES.
I'm at Erin E. Fraser, ErinE Fraser.
Find us on Tumblr at BollywoodIsForLovers.tumblr.com. Look us up on Facebook. Just look up Bollywood is for Lovers.
If you are a fan of the show, please leave us a review and star rating on iTunes. Really helps new people find the show.
Also, hi, new people, because we were on the new and noteworthy in India again, and I think we made it up to 2 or 3 again. So
yeah.
There's obviously some new people here, so hopefully we didn't ruin everything. Thank you for listening.
While you're over at iTunes leaving us that 5-star review, you can also check out my other show that I do weekly with Paul Matwichuk. It's called Trash Art and the Movies. We are going to be discussing 2 films about blokes in England falling for movie stars. We're going to be discussing Film Stars Don't Die in Liverpool and Notting Hill.
That is a very specific genre you're working with this week. The podcast is also available on gradio.ca in addition to Stitcher, CastBox, TuneIn, Deezer, Cast Paradise, Super Podcast, and Podcast Plus.
Did you mix some of those up?
Maybe.
All right. Perfect.
Yeah. I think that's all the stuff we say at the end, so we'll see you in 2 weeks.
Thanks for listening.
Hey, Central Ohio, the nationwide children's marathon will be taking over the city on October 18th and 19th. COTA riders can expect significant reroutes throughout the city. Operators will be working tirelessly to assist COTA customers. That's October 18th and 19th for the nationwide children's marathon. Expect significant reroutes downtown. You can view real-time updates on the transit app or at COTA.com. That's COTA.com. Good luck to all the runners.
If you're shopping while working, eating, or even listening to this podcast, then you know and love the thrill of a deal. But are you getting the deal and cash back? Rakuten shoppers do. They get the brands they love, savings, and cash back. And you can get it too. Start getting cash back at your favorite stores like Levi's, Plow and Hearth, Adidas, Sephora, and Neiman Marcus. Stack sales on top of cash back and feel what it's like to know you're maximizing the savings. And it's easy to use. And you get your cash back sent to you through PayPal or check. The idea is simple. Stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back. Download the free Rakuten app or go to Rakuten.com to start saving today. It's the most rewarding way to shop. That's Rakuten. Rakuten.com.
If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.